Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Is to bring us to Him, to bring us to that purpose for which we were created, to fulfill us. And so, because we heard the last two Sundays the parable of the, first of all, of the publican and the Pharisee, and we hear how the Lord received the repentance of the publican. And then last Sunday we hear the parable of the prodigal son, and we heard about how the Lord accepted the repentance of the prodigal son. So having heard those parables, you might become lazy and think, well, you know, I can repent later. Maybe I'll have time later on to repent and I can mend my ways towards the end of my life. And for that reason, we have this passage from St. Matthew's Gospel proclaimed to us today, where the Lord terrifies us and tells us, it's time to correct your ways. So we are told concerning the final judgment, which is hidden even from the apostles. The time of its coming is not revealed. But the Lord says that when He returns in His glory, when He returns in glory, not in humility, the way He came the first time, but in glory, the way He comes the second time. That's what those icons mean. And we stand in between those two times in the church. When the Lord returns in His glory, with all of the holy angels with Him, then He will sit upon His throne like the King who judges. And He will separate the nations, all of the peoples of the earth, He will separate them like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will put those who are the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left hand. And then He will speak first to the sheep. And He will say to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." This is very important. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter into the place where you belong. Enter into the kingdom that you were created for, even before you were made. At the beginning of the world, when the universe was founded, this kingdom was prepared for you. And now it is time for you to enter into it." We have to contrast that with what He says to those who are deemed to be goats. He says to those on His left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." No human being belongs in hell. The Lord created human beings for Himself. He created human beings for the kingdom of heaven. And none of them belong in hell. None of them were created for hell. Human beings were not made, some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. We can talk a little bit about what that is in a second. But to the sheep He says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered," and He lists off all of these things. "I was hungered, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you showed hospitality, you took me in. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you came and you visited me. You ministered to me." And look at how the righteous answer. When did we do anything like that? When did we do that? It's an answer of utter and complete humility. This is a mark of righteousness. To do good and to forget about it. And when the Lord accuses them of doing good, they don't even remember having done it. When did we do anything like that? And the Lord says, "If you did it to one of the least of these, then you did it also to me." He receives every good deed as if it is given directly to him. And then He says to those who are on His left hand, "I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger and you did not show hospitality. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and I was in prison and you did not come and visit me." And look at their response. Self-righteousness and pride. When did we fail to do any of those things? When did we neglect that? And he says, if you've neglected doing it to even one of the least of these, then you've neglected doing it to me. And so, those go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now we've said that human beings do not belong in hell, but nevertheless the witness of the Lord's own words testify to the fact that some of them do indeed go there. And why is that? Well, we have this list that we were just given. The righteous were the ones who fed the hungry and gave the thirsty to drink and clothed the naked and ministered to the sick and those who were in prison, showed hospitality to the strangers. And the unrighteous are the ones who neglected to do those things. But I think it's even more terrifying than that. Because he divides the nations as if they are sheep and goats. And sheep and goats are completely different creatures. Sheep are sheep and goats are goats. There's nobody on the sheep side, there's nobody on the right hand who is a goat that's really good at pretending like he's a sheep. There is something essential that the Lord is judging on here. It's not something external, it is something internal, something essential in the inner being by which the Lord is judging here. You can't sneak into the sheep side. You can't put on a wool coat. You've got to actually be a sheep. So it's not so much, or it's above and beyond, I shouldn't say not so much, it's above and beyond the deeds that these people did or did not do. But it comes down to what kind of people we are. Because if we're going to feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and visit those who are sick and in prison and show hospitality to the strangers and clothe the naked, if we're going to do all of those things, before we do them, we have to desire to do them. And to be blunt, that level is where most of us probably are. I'm not saying we're not charitable. We're all very charitable. We like to write checks to all kinds of organizations that do all kinds of wonderful things. But real charity, what the Lord is speaking about here, takes place on a very personal level. And in some ways, our charity can even become hypocritical. You know, we can write a check to the American Red Cross or OCMC or IOCC or whatever. You know, but then somebody comes up to us on the street and says, hey, can I have $5 for a hamburger? And we immediately think, oh, no. No, 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 no. I know this guy. He's not going to use that $5 for a hamburger. And I don't have $5 that I can give him anyway. I have $5, but I was going to use it for something else, so it's already spoken for. So, if that's what our charity looks like, where do we stand? You see, before we become really charitable, we have to desire to become charitable. And charity is not something that simply, you know, care for the poor. What does the word charity mean? It's in the old lists of the virtues, you know, it's one of those words that's meaning seems to have changed over time. Charity means love. Charity means love. You know, faith, hope, and love from the scriptures used to be translated faith, hope, and charity. Charity. And this is the criterion by which the Lord judges. In other words, do you have love for other human beings? And does it appear in your works? Not do you pretend to love other human beings, but do you really love other people? Do you even desire to love other people? Do you desire to love other people to the point that it costs you something? And the reason that the Lord can judge based on this criterion is because it is the criterion of his own example. Because he loves other people to the point where it costs him something. And that is the witness of the cross. That the Lord gave everything. Not everything that we had, everything that he has. He emptied himself. He utterly and completely emptied himself. He gave everything and took on the form of a servant. And he wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a nobleman's house. He was born in a cave that animals sleep in. And he lived a life of utter poverty, and he died as a condemned criminal outside of the city gates. He gave everything according to his divinity, everything according to his humanity, everything he gave it out of an ecstatic love. Ecstatic meaning he going out from himself. An ecstatic love for us. And this is the same criterion which he uses to measure and find out whether we are actually sheep or whether we are goats at the final judgment. Do you, to even a small degree, do you have this kind of love hidden somewhere in your heart? Have you let it motivate your actions in this life to some degree? And we know that the Lord is a merciful God, and that if he can find something within us that is redeemable, then he will take it. Because he's always doing that. But if he looks at us and he finds that we are just goats dressed up like sheep, if we came to the liturgy on Sunday morning and wrote our tithe check and wrote our checks to the IOCC, but really didn't care that much for other people, and it's, believe me, possible to do all of that, we end up being goats dressed up like sheep, and we will not deceive the Lord. We will not fool him, and he will see us, not as we have presented ourselves to those around us, not as we have fooled all the human beings around us, but he will see us as we truly are. And the punishment for that is to be separate from God. That's hell. To be separated from God for all eternity. Why is that punishment? Why is that hell? Because it's not what we were created for. To live in all eternity, having freely chosen of our own will to not live up to the calling which we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore to be separate from God and to fail to live according to what we are created to be. To go through all of eternity being an unhuman. But for those who are judged to be righteous, for those in whom the Lord finds this same love that he shares for the human race, for those, he says again, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, the human race was created to bear this same love. To bear, this is what the creation account in Genesis means. Let us make man according to our image and in our likeness. What does that mean? Let us make man like we are. The Father speaks to the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man like we are. Let us make man with the capacity for ecstatic love. With the capacity to love not just one person, not just two people, not just six people. To love everyone with this same outgoing love which we, that is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, share with one another. That is the kingdom which we are created to inherit. Brothers and sisters, let us not take it lightly, but from this day forward, persevere to have within us that love which God himself has given us and created us for. To him be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages. Amen.